someone came in here tonight. You're just wounded in your heart, and I just see the Holy Spirit just putting His hand right on your heart and just bringing real comfort, just real comfort. It's a weariness, but it's just a sadness that just comes on you at times, and it's been overwhelming lately. And just God's just really just, He's just blessing you right now. You've felt His presence, and He was just healing you. He was healing you and just telling you it's going to be okay, and just to be at peace. And He's imparting strength to you to carry on and to go forward and to be strengthened. He's taken the sadness out, and He's replacing it with just an assurance. Just an assurance, just a real assurance that He's with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just to hear the Holy Spirit saying He's healing bursitis. Someone has bursitis in this room, and God is just healing that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I just heard the word, some person here, you've been having some heart palpitations. You aren't sure what it even is, but it's not something that's normal, but the Holy Spirit is healing you of that right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Just a myriad of things that the Holy Spirit's just moving in our midst right now and just touching different people in different ways. It's a real strength. It's somebody came in here tonight, just weak, just it's kind of beat up, really. Just things have been just hounding you, and just you've not been able to shake it, but the Holy Spirit is strengthening to you today, and He's going to illuminate your mind. He's going to give you an idea. It's going to be able to help you solve the problem. It's going to give you solutions. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. So, individually, been praying for a spouse. The Lord's going to open up a door for you in that area. It's a real restoration. It's going to take place in your life. Just know that God's preparing you for someone, and that person's being prepared for you. But just be in confidence. You've put this before Him, so you know this is for you. So just know that God's answered you tonight. He's given you that real hope, you know, where you thought there wasn't, but there's hope there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Another thing the Lord was sharing with me is a sister, somebody's sister that you've not been in touch, or some kind of a problem, some kind of a something happened, and anyway, but the Lord's going to restore the relationship. It's a restoration. God's working on her right now, and just softening her heart. There's a real hardness in her heart, and the Lord says, "I'm softening her heart. I'm going to bring her home." She's like a prodigal. God says, "I'm going to bring her home." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. So good. It's another individual you've been bringing before the Lord. It's just a habit you're trying to break. It's something that you just want to have broken off in your life. You don't know how to do it. It's like you put it down, pick it up, put it down, pick it up. It's been a real hard. But see, God wanted to comfort you. Your heart is in the right. You want something. And He can deliver you from that. He will deliver you from that. He has delivered you from that. And just know that His strength is within you. You have the ability within you. And don't be deceived. Don't let the enemy deceive your mind. He's already given you freedom. It's yours. It's yours. He's given you the grace. God says, I've given you grace. I have forgiven it. I forgave you before you were born. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. That's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks. Well, that was pretty good, guys. I think you're hired. Is that okay? They did all right. Amen. It's so funny. I close my eyes and open up, and this population comes in here. I think there was 10 people when I first started, and now we've multiplied, or maybe it was just me. I don't know. Amen. I'm just glad Andrew's in the house. Amen. I'm just glad you're here. Very thankful. You're an encouragement. You don't even have to say anything. You just sit there, just encourage me. Something about you, just you emanate that. You know, some people just have a gift of just, yes. They have such a strong gift of encouragement, they don't even have to speak. It's like they radiate it. Amen? You radiate that. I don't know how you do that. Would you share that sometime? But you radiate that. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, and I just want to give you a word of encouragement since I'm on you right now, but, you know, Andrew, you're not one that really asks for help from anybody. You're always the giver. You know what I mean? But your relationship with God is so tight, and he says, you know, I've got some needs I want to meet. He wants to meet your needs. And I just want to tell you, I don't know what it is that you're looking for, if it's something that's, I feel in my spirit, you want a quickening in your mortal body. It's something that you've asked the Lord for. I just feel like God's going to quicken your mortal body. You know, the Holy Spirit does that. And I don't know what that exactly means. It says he quickens us. I consider that probably strength or vitality or quickness or mobility to do something. And it's like your requests are not even for yourself. Even the needs that you have are your need. Like, I have need of the gift of healing, or I have need of the gift of this. I have need because I've got to deliver these things to other people. And a lot of the things that you're even constructing on, even the way that you're in the construction, and I know that in the natural, the Lord, the Holy Spirit has been teaching you as you're building. I mean, he's giving you literally messages. I really see your home becoming a home of healing, a place of refuge for people who are sick, a refuge of people who are really dying in the natural. I see God just using your house that way. And so be prepared. You're preparing something, not just a place to live, but this is a place for others that will gather together. And you know this. God has already shown you this. And so he's equipping you in the spirit right now to be able to do those things. And, you know, the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. And you're one that God speaks to, and you go out and he gives you a plan. And it's like you're an engineer's mind, and you go out and you construct time and time again. Well, this is going to happen. God's going to give you the details of how to construct lives, where a word that you speak into their life is exactly the mechanical thing that they need. They need a nail here. They need to be glued there. They need this. They need that. I mean, it's going to be quickened to your spirit in a moment of time, so quick. And you're going to know exactly, you're going to have the word in season. And the timing of the Lord is going to be in your mouth and in your hands. So just be encouraged. It's coming quick. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, and is one who is taught that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place right now. What a blessing it is already just to be in your presence. We've already tasted that you're good. Holy Spirit, you're in our midst right now, and the anointing that is permanently within us is in us. Father, I ask you to bring an activation upon it now. Father, I ask you that you open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes to be able to see and to hear it is what you're doing. Father, I ask that you bring a word that you'd use this vessel, which any way you see fit. And we just ask you to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I really, really enjoyed the songs tonight. Amen. I was so glad that we did this. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'm in John chapter 18, verse 36, is where we're going to start here. And it says, we're going to read here, it says, I've read this scripture before here, probably many times. Jesus answered, "My kingdom belongs not to this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have been fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. It's not of this realm. It's not of this world. It has no such origin or source." And Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say it. You speak correctly, for I am a king. Certainly I am a king. This is why I was born. And for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth, who belongs to the truth, hears and listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" I've been really concerned lately. You know, you hear a lot of things out there, and some of you are probably in touch with a lot of different ministries that prophesy or say different things that are coming. And you know, we all have that, I think, that urgency or that hunger to know what's coming. You know, we know Jesus is coming. You know, we know that, and we know that it says in the scriptures that God's going to shake all things, and anything that can't be shaken will stay and remain. And we know that Jesus had prophesied many things, and you know, so we know that there are things that are coming. But I've been very concerned lately, but praying for not just this group, but just people and just in general. And I've become very much aware, and I'm going to submit this to you, is that there is some things that are coming. And the things that are coming requires that we are armored. Mm-hmm. We must be armored, but it's not just, we can't just have a knowledge of the armor. Mm-hmm. We have to actually know how to use that armor. And I've been spending the past two messages, and you can get online and get them, but going into a really more of a deep dive about the armor of God, because we need to know not just about it, but we know exactly where the pieces are, how we use it, how we put it on. We have to know these things, because I'm telling you, saints, what's coming on the earth right now, what the ways that we're going to be really attacked in different various ways, it's very important that you carry the full armor of God, that you have it on, that you know how to use it, that you can also go on the offense, but it's also that you have a good defense. And I've been pretty much targeting the defensive parts this time, and I will get into more of the offense, but it's very important that you will be able to walk out of here tonight and to know how to use it, because if you don't, when the evil day occurs or when the storm hits, you're going to be hurt. And that is not the will of God. That's why he gave us those things. So when the Pilate says and asks this question about truth, what is truth? There is a real commodity on truth right now. I mean, when you really think about it. What is the number one thing that you and I confront on a daily basis when we're out there in the world is tons and tons of deceptions in various different forms. I mean, all you have to do is pick this up and go anywhere and you'll find information. I mean, we're so hungry for information, it's not funny. I mean, it really isn't. We crave it. We want it on a daily basis. But the good thing about it is, if you're in the kingdom of God, the kind of information, the kind of meditation, the kind of things that you really want is in the kings of God. So you're meditating on those things. But let's face it, you know, if we're going to the bathroom or whatever we're doing, we carry this around. I mean, pretty soon they're going to find a way to attach it to us if they haven't found that already. I've heard that you can even get it in glasses now, where you put on some glasses and everything's right there. Well, I'm not trying to put fear inside of you. I'm just trying to bring reality home here, because let's face it, there's a lot of manipulation that comes through this device. Yes. Yes. And so you have to be careful of what you're taking in with your eyes and your ears. And I'm saying that to me too. So one thing about these ministers, you don't seem to understand, I do, and maybe you don't understand, is that, man, every time I bring a word, it scares me. I'm because I'm subject to it. I've been doing, interesting, when you sit there and you minister to people, you know, a lot of things that you minister, you have to walk that out. And so in one way, it's helpful because I get to minister something I get to go ahead and do, you know, and so it's a wonderful thing. But don't ever think when you go around, you see all these men and women of God to do all these things, that they don't have problems, that they don't have situations. I mean, they may bring a real good word, but they're subject to that word too. And so are you too. And so as you go out and as you teach or as you exhort or whatever you do in your ministries, just know that what comes out of you, you're going to have to walk out. Amen. And so just that's just a little side note. So we're in a warfare. And as representatives of God's kingdom here on earth, we find ourselves in an all-out war with an opposing kingdom, Satan's kingdom, a highly organized kingdom of evil spirits, beings, persons without bodies, whose headquarters are in heavenly realms. The battleground on which this war is being fought out is in the mind of humanity. Satan has built up strongholds of prejudice and unbelief in the minds of the human race. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth. He prevents them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image and the likeness of God." And so we just need to understand that. And we need to really be clear on it. Where is the battle at? Where is the battle that you and I are facing? It's in here. And you know, because we walk with the Lord, and we're in the right side and everything, and yet we still do get hit. But when you begin to understand the power of the enemy and what he does and how he does things, and that we're not ignorant of them, we become very much aware when the scripture says to take every thought captive, it must be applied to our lives. Because if there's going to be a greater assault upon the body of Christ to try to stop us, which he can't stop us, or try to neutralize you, he's going to try to do it through your mind. It's plain and simple. And if there's certain specific circumstances around you that he controls, he's going to try to pull those levers to try to get you not to trust. It's one of the major things the enemy always is after in your life, trying to get you not to trust God. It's his objective. And you know how you oscillate, you go through those seasons and you get a little worried or you get a little upset, and then all of a sudden, you know, I got to trust God, and you get back on that rock of trust. And that's the safest place that there is. You may not know how God's going to do it, but you know that he will do it because you've got information. But you have to gird yourself up. You have to build yourself up. It's not something, you can have a lot of knowledge of the things of God. Many of us in here have had all kinds of teachings, but everything must become fresh. It is out of relationship and spending time in the presence of God and spending time in prayer and worship and all those things. But you must know that you've got to continue to renew your mind. You must know that you must continue to meditate on his word day and night. It's not something that can ever stop in your life until you go on into glory. It must be current. It must be consistent. You must get up and have that level of discipline, because the things that are going to be raging in these last days are going to be really shaking up a lot of people. And the storm comes on all of us. Not anybody has not had a storm that I know of. Some of you might be in the middle of a storm. Some of you might be in the middle of a hurricane right now. I don't know. So, our God-given task is to break down these strongholds, thus releasing men and women from Satan's deception, and then instead of bring them into the submission and obedience of Christ.
Our ability to achieve this God-given task depends mainly on two factors. First, that we must see clearly through Scripture that on the cross Jesus totally defeated Satan on our behalf, and that is our responsibility to demonstrate and administer the victory that Jesus has already won. You notice I put it there first, that we must see clearly through Scripture. Scripture is huge. And we must drive that home into your minds, into your hearts about the victory of Jesus. And we get in the Word of God and we go around a lot of different parts and a lot of different things. But to sit there and take some time to really meditate and dissect and read the Scripture of His victory, it's very important to refresh yourself in that arena. You may know it to be true, but it's something that you must read on. You know, we sit there and you can get to a point where you can watch a movie sometimes where you can literally quote it. Yeah. Well, that's what we got to do with the Word of God. We got to keep watching that movie over and over and over again. You know, everybody has a particular movie that they just like, you know, and they can go back and say, well, that's my favorite movie. And you can go back and you can watch it again and again. The victory of Jesus has got to be your favorite movie.
Amen.
I mean, you got to replay it over and over again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not something you can get tired of. It's better than... Then I'm trying to think of the movie. Oh, what is it? The Clark Gable or whatever that game movie is. Gone with the Wind. Yeah, that's it. So it's Gone with the Wind can be Gone with the Wind. Amen. But people say, oh, I just like that movie. I said, well, yeah. That's just maybe it's not me. But anyway, but that's got to be that way. You know, what movie are you watching lately? I'm asking myself that too. Yeah? What movie are you watching lately? What kind of movies do you like to watch? It's the movie of the victory of Jesus. It's got to be watched over and over again. Amen. The second thing that we must make proper use of the necessary spiritual weapons with which God has provided for us. I have underlined that word proper use. I never thought about it this way, but As I mentioned last time, we went over the shield of faith and the fact that it needs to be activated, its voice activated. But then we went through so many scriptures in the Old Testament on shields. I mean, it's everywhere. And you know, Psalm 3:3, Lord God is a shield to me and the glory and the lifter of my head. If you're in sadness, you take that shield and you put it up. God is a shield to you. He's the glory and the lifter of your head if you're in sadness. You have to activate it. You have to speak it. You have to say it. You have to actually get the armor of God and put it on. And we talked about the shield of faith. It's a shield that covers the whole entire body. Then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, where I just thought, well, it's the righteousness of God. But we found out as you do a deep dive that shield, that breastplate, which covers the heart, is actually activated through faith and love. And this type of faith, it's almost like it's love worketh by faith, worketh by love. We knew that love activates the breastplate of righteousness. That needs to be activated because that guards your heart, which is a very vital organ that you need. And we talked about the shoes too, the preparation of the gospel of peace, and that you can't transmit something that you don't have. We talked about how the shoes were strong and they were built. The Romans, the way their shoes were worn were thick leather and they were built for speed and mobility. You know, to be able to get up and to be at attention wherever the commander directed the battle, where the armies to go, where they were able to get. And one thing about the Roman army is that they were really known for being able to go far distances at speed. So the preparation of the gospel of peace is something that you and I need to prepare on. We need to prepare ourselves about the gospel of peace so that we can present the gospel to anybody at any time, anywhere. And see, that's part of putting the armor of God on. I mean, think about Christianity, and let's think about churches lately. Let's really look at the church. Is there an emphasis on that? Does anybody ever say, hey, you got to have the gospel of peace? That's part of the armor because you're going to be attacked. And if you don't have your shoes on, you're not really going anywhere. And then in World War II, they were told never to take their boots off when they slept at night, because they never knew when they were going to be called up, because it would take too long to lace them up. And by that, they'd been shot. So anyway, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord and be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. For we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day. And having done all that the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place, stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity, of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in the preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword which the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. You notice in verse 18 it says, to stand your ground on the evil day. So there is an evil day that comes at you and me. We're really, when you look at the scripture, we're being warned that there will be an evil day. And Paul's saying, you've got to put the armor on to be able to stand in the evil day. So you're being prepared for that day before it ever occurs. Now, I don't think the evil day is, you know, evil day is not talking about the days of tribulation, although there are going to be tribulation days in terms of the great tribulation and so forth. But this is talking about life. And because you're a child of God, you're marked. In the spirit, an evil spirit knows who you are. Did that? Remember when the Jews, these guys thought that they could go ahead and cast out demons in the name of Jesus without really being, I guess, born again or whatever, believers. And so they go and they come up, this guy, it's got an evil spirit, and they say, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus. And they end up getting beat up and stripped. I mean, didn't just get beat up, they got stripped too. And what did the demons say? They said, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? So you are marked because you're a Christian, and you are covered with the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. But we have access to these weapons, and we have angels protecting us. So yes, we're not being left, and we have the Holy Spirit. So it's not like we're being left out there just in the open. But I'm saying that the Apostle Paul says that there is an evil day, and that we must pick up the armor of God to be able to stand in that day. Sometimes I think, to be honest with you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that some Christians, they just get hit, and they get hit again, and hit again, and then they get, well, yeah, I got to do something about this now. You know, it's almost like we let the enemy take raids on us, and we kind of, he raids us for a while, and then finally we wake up and start putting on or trying to figure out how to use this piece of armor or whatever, and we fight back. But you know what? It says, really, we can be prepared before that day occurs, is what I'm saying to you. And so what I would submit to you is, if this is any kind of a warning, and it's not to be afraid of anything, I'm not trying to stir any kind of fear in anybody. All I'm saying is that, hey, get the armor on now.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
Just get it on. Be ready. Don't wait till the evil day gets on you. You be ready when the evil day hits. You already got your armor on. You are ready to hit back. You are ready to defend. And you're prepared. And I'll tell you, and some of you have already experienced this. You had that armor on, and a certain event happens to your life, a circumstance, and it doesn't even faze you. Where you normally would have a conniption, or when you normally would lose it, it just doesn't even faze you. I had a situation happen recently with our candle company. We have our major account just drops us out of the blue. It didn't even bother me. In fact, I was joyful over it. I wouldn't really like him that much anyway. I didn't consider him my servant, but it just didn't bother me. But, you know, it could have bothered me really tremendously if I really looked at it, if I really thought it in the natural, like, oh my God, this is have this big, huge account. And there wasn't even a reason given why. It wasn't that we weren't producing, just some random person made a decision. But the thing about what I'm trying to say is that I know the only reason that I didn't react in a negative way is because I was armored. And not only was I was armored, I was actually rejoiceful because I felt like it even possibly the Holy Spirit wanted us out of there anyway. So you want to have that armor on because things may sideswipe you or may sneak up on you, but they won't take you out. You'll be able to stand. Now, there's six pieces of armor that are mentioned here. The girdle, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. The piece of armor that I want to talk about tonight is the girdle of truth or the belt of truth, which was a part of when Paul's talking about the army, he's using the Roman soldiers, so he's using their armament, and they had a belt that they put on. It's like they called it a girdle. And the reason why they put a girdle on, because I guess with the kind of clothing they wore was like a tunic, I guess. And it was real loose, you know, but you couldn't fight in it because you get caught up into it. So they had to put a belt on to tighten all the flaps, all the loose ends up and that type thing. And they had these like strips of leather that dropped down that, you know, to me kind of covered the reproductive parts as well. And you can see a parallel of that in the spirit, really. But it was called Paul called it the belt of truth, and it's to be tightened up. And to tighten up the belt was essential for mobility and movement in battle. When the Bible speaks of girding up your loins, that's what it's basically talking about. The belt of truth is defense in actions in daily living. It is honesty, sincerity, openness, and frankness. Now, we can talk about that, and we understand those are attributes, and those are good things that we should be honest, okay? And, you know, we should be sincere. We should be open, and we should have these qualities of the Lord that are in us. And a lot of people just stop there, but the belt of truth is way more than that. It is a defensive piece of armor, and I want to get into that. It is also the truth of the revelation that is in your in the mind of Christ inside you concerning the reality of God, heaven, creation, past events of God's interactions, prophecy concerning future events such as his return. Now, Matthew 24, for example, says that, verse 4 says, see to it that no one misleads you. Luke 21:8 says, see to it that you are not misled. And so Jesus is talking about the end of days, and the disciples are saying, you know, what is going to be the sign of the end? And the first thing he says is, don't let anybody deceive you. The belt of truth is what protects you from deception. You know the truth, you can't be deceived. It is essential, more essential probably than any defensive weapon I can think of right now, because of the onslaught of lies. Do you realize that we have leaders in our government that lie, that are allowed to lie? Allowed to, if they can stand in the halls of Congress, they're allowed to lie. Did you know that? They can make up anything and say anything. This is the nation that we live in. We have liars. That's all they do. And what kind of house is that building? It's a house of cards. And don't think for one second that the Spirit of the living God, of Jesus Christ, is not going to sit and judge those people because he is. He has. Judgment of God is going to fall upon people in this country for lying. And it's going to start in the house of God. And it's going to move out from there. We can no longer afford to lie. We got to stop that stuff. You know how sometimes you know you can't be somewhere? I will do everything I can do not to lie in those situations. I won't do it. I'm afraid to do it now. Oh, well, you know, I got to do this or that. You know, why did Jesus say, just let your answer be yes and then be no? And you think it's hard to do. It's not hard to do. It's easy to do. Because sometimes we're so afraid of offending someone else. And, you know, I just don't want to go to your party. I don't like what you do. You don't have to go get into detail, but you say, I just can't go. You know, I'm not feeling well, or I'm not like this. People make up all kinds of excuses, and it's okay if you don't come to my party. I'm not having a party, but if I was having a party, you didn't want to come to it. That's fine. You know, you don't have to lie. Don't let yourself fall into those little bitty traps. Oh, man. A lie is a lie is a lie. And it's a protection. The belt of truth is a protection. Tighten that part up in your life. Stop lying. Just tighten it up. Be truthful. It's okay. You know, some people might not like you anymore. That's all right. Just tighten it up there. Tighten up that area. John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Truth. There's only one way. One way. Not many ways to God, one way. It's only one way. How many ministers have compromised in that one area? Well, what if you were born on the island and you never ever knew the Lord, you never have given the God? I mean, come on. You know, I'm not God and I'm just, more just than that. Don't you think God makes provision for things like that? Of course he does. But there's only one way. They're still only getting in through the Lord. They're still getting only through his sacrifice. There's only one way in. And you know what? He doesn't even send anybody to hell. They decide to go there. They make the decision. They reject him. Reject what he gave, reject what he did, the sacrifice. It's terrible. And it's a real place, too. That's the truth. We like to dress stuff up and say, oh, there's not really no hell. We're not going to talk about the judgment of God. Yeah, how many messages have you heard on the judgment of God lately? You can't go into any of these places are trying to gather a lot of people together. They'll never talk about the judgment of God there because why? It's not popular, but there is the judgment of God. It's okay. It's just the way it is. He is the way, the truth, the life. Tighten that belt up. That's true. People need to hear the truth. They need to know the truth. I mean, you get to a place, especially you hear some of these near-death experiences of some of these people didn't go to heaven, they went the other way. And they come back and they have actually post-traumatic syndrome from that experience. And some of the things I've heard from that, I wouldn't send my worst enemy there. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Mm. It's awful. And I think sometimes we need to have a dose of that so we get motivated to start reaching out to people that are around us and start really telling them about Jesus. If their mind is blinded, we have the ability to be able to start to intercede for them, that the Lord would open up their eyes, that the Father would draw them to himself. That's the truth. Second Peter chapter 3. Starting verse 3. To begin with, you must know and understand this, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, who walk after their own fleshly desires, and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the forefathers fell asleep, all things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. For they will willfully overlook and forget the fact that the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God, and the earth also was formed out of water and by means of water. And so see, the truth, you know, is so important about creation. We need to tighten up our belt on a lot of these things because this is exactly what's going on. I mean, people, even Christians are messed up in this area. They sit there and say, well, the earth is... The Bible never says how old it is. I want to tell you something. If there was... When did time start?
When God made it.
When man fell. So you want to tell me you know how old the earth is? No way. No. It's million, probably billions. Who knows how old it is? There was no time until man fell. How long was Adam here until he fell? Nobody knows that. It's amazing. It just blows my mind. Christians just love to get into these arguments with science. If they want to say it's billions, you're fine. The Bible doesn't tell us. It tells us how long man was here. It tells us how long the biosphere maybe was here. It's just difficult sometimes, but I'm getting off down a rabbit hole here. But my point is this, okay? You know, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the truth. It is amazing to me how powerful He is and how wonderful He is. And just the meditation there on it. But look, go on. I mean, I digress. Let's go on here. We willfully overlook to forget the fact that the heavens came into existence a long time ago by the word of God, and the earth also which formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world was then existed, was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been restored up and reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly people. Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that within one day, Lord, is one day as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But he is long-suffering towards you, not desire that any should perish, but that all should turn to what? Repentance. When's the last time you got a message on repentance? But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, then the heavens will vanish, pass away with a thunderous crash, and the material elements of the universe will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of you to be in the meanwhile? In consecrated and holy godly behavior, in devout and godly qualities. While you wait and earnestly long for, expect and hasten the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved and the material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire. But we look for a new heavens and a new earth according to his promise, in which righteousness, uprightness, freedom from sin, and right standing with God is to abide. So, beloved, since you are expecting these things, be eager to be found by him at his coming without spot or blemish and at peace. There's a lot in that scripture. But it's, you know, people don't, many Christians don't even believe that there was a flood, a great flood. Many Christians don't believe that it was even possible that the whole earth could be covered with water, even though, was it 75% of it is in water, and scientists even today have found stuff within the earth is more water in it than the oceans. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that people don't believe in that. They don't, you know, we need to tighten up our belt in truth. We really do. In a lot of these areas, I mean, this Noah's flood is a big contender right there. People just say, well, there, you know, there's no way that, you know, Noah could have felt all those animals in the boat. You know, but you know, if you really study it out, God said take two of every kind. Didn't need every kind of dog. This needed the kinds of dogs. I mean, if you go look at it, some of these people have spent time researching and actually figuring out, yes, it could have fit in there. And not only that, some people have even found the remains of the ark over in, it's not on Mount Ararat, but it's about 17 miles away from it. They're actually excavating it right now. I mean, it's there. I mean, if you ever want to look at it, just research it. You'll find it. It's there. It's scary when you see it. I mean, I remember seeing it first time. This guy named Ron Wyatt found it years ago. And, but not only that, many years ago, Josephus, written a Jewish historian, said that the ark was still there and people actually visited it. And they used to take pieces of wood from it for lucky charms or whatever they call it, you know, they did with it. You know, I mean, you know, but when you see it, you kind of, it's scary in one sense because it happened. You know, it's so hard for our mind to comprehend some of these things that have happened, but when you realize that it actually had happened, and there's actually some evidence, not that our faith should rest in that, but the fact that it is there, it kind of gives you a little bit of a jolt there and say, you know, wow, that really happened. And man, that means that this is going to happen again. I mean, you know, you have the truth. And so my message is that we need to tighten the belt down and realize that these things that we have in Scripture actually have happened. They're real. Just the prophecies alone with Israel, all of these things point to one thing, truth. And when you've got that tightened down and you know the truth, it says that you shall know the truth, and the truth what? It makes you free. It's a defense. It frees you up because you understand the reality of heaven and where you're going and where the people that you've loved are right now.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, that alone gives us so much peace and comfort. You know, I love my grandfather. He was just like my hero. I mean, I love that man. I really did. He took me fishing and just did all the things that, you know, grandpas do, I guess. And just, he was so special to me. And I really just loved him so much. And I'll never forget, I was at Boy Scout camp. And we had different projects. And that project today was do gravestone rubbing, where we went to this really old graveyard and you take it, I guess, like a piece of paper and you rub it up so you can tell all the dates on it or whatever. I wouldn't go into the graveyard. My friend goes, "Why aren't you coming here?" I go, I said, "My grandfather, I can't go in there." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "There's something going on with my grandfather. I don't know what it is." And he just kind of looked at me and thought it was really strange that I would not go in there. And so anyway, I came back from Boy Scout camp. And that night we went down there to see my grandfather. I saw him and he had these white shoes on. It's back in the 70s. He had white shoes and he had like a spring-eaten type shirt on, and he just looked good, you know. And he was playing cards that night they played bridge or something with his friends or whatever, and he put a card down and just went like that, just left. And the Lord, it was the first time I had really had a word of knowledge that, you know, God was showing me something, you know. And I can't wait to see him. I mean, it's something I'm looking for. That's truth. You know, it devastated me at the time. I mean, it was weird because I was so upset. But I remember my dad telling me the next morning, he got me up and he brought me downstairs and he knew that I was going to react in a way. He knew I was going to be sad. And I'll never forget, he was in a chair and he just told me. And I could tell he had been, you know, crying or whatever. And I remember just getting on my bike and taking off. That's when I really started talking. I talked to Jesus about all this. And I remember him just comforting me. That's truth. I miss him. And I cry because I miss him. But I'm going to see him.
Yes, you will. For eternity.
And I'll tell you, a lot of things that we don't know about that eternity is just absolutely will blow your mind. But there are truths there. That are just, we're just going to blow our mind. It talks here about the new heavens and the new earth. I mean, we're going to see all this stuff. So as I'm talking about this truth, if you haven't noticed that a lot of these problems you came in here with, you aren't thinking about right now. And the reason being is because he captures every thought. Jesus, when he manifests, he has a way of just reeling us in. And says, hey, you know what? Gonna get you out of this world. And we sat there and sang that song, Hosanna in the Highest. You know what that means? Deliver us. If there isn't a Christian on this earth that doesn't want to get out of this body, I mean, you know, in terms of that, you know, I'd be really holy if I didn't have this flesh, God, you know what I mean? I mean, let's say this thing is weighs us down. Everybody I know that's had these, has gone, has had this experience come back, say, I just felt like I was just, didn't weigh anything. I just felt like I was just free of this, you know, so, but while we're in this body, while we are in these earthen vessels, let's put on the belt of truth. Let's put on this armor of God and let's be ready for the evil day, because the evil day is going to come. But you are going to be ready. Thank you, Jesus. I would even submit to you that when that evil day comes and that enemy opens up the door, you can be there with your sword ready to go and whack that guy right on the head. So you know what? Not today. You're not going to get me, devil. In fact, I tell you what, I'm going to come after you. All right. We're going to make an offensive move against the enemy before he even gets to the door. And I want to tell you something. Jesus did that. He knew all things that were befall him. Remember, they're coming to get him. He went out to, he went out to them. Uh-huh. Who are you looking for? He daily freaked out people, that's for sure. I mean, what do you do with a guy that's there before he says, hey, I'm here. It's me. You want me or whatever? And they all fall down to the ground. Uh-huh. They went to push him off a cliff one time, went right through him. These things happen while he walked on water. Mm-hmm. You remember was it the sun and Nain? Was it Nain, the place where the guy was being carried in a coffin? He goes up and just touches it or whatever, and the guy comes back to life. Hallelujah. I mean, he did all these things. And the thing about it is, he's inside of you.
Yes, he is.
He's in you.
Yes, he is.
He's inside of us. So we're carrying him around all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. Just can you imagine that? And we that's the whole thing. That's truth. And you know that truth, and the truth makes you free. And yeah, it's progressive, and it's happening over some years, but it's happening to you. And the more that you know, the more you go, and the farther you get. And then something hits you upside the head, and you're like, Paul, man, that's so light affliction. I can handle that. Wow, perfect. I'm out in he was out in the ocean naked, wasn't he? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, I guess. I don't know. I've never been beaten before. I haven't. Not that I'm not asking to be beaten. I'm just saying, you know, can you handle it? You know, I think we can handle anything when we got the Lord inside of us. So there's something that God is doing inside of you and me where he makes us so free that literally anything on the planet, we don't get worried about anything anymore, because the truth is he has set us free from all that. And the truth is we have the mind of Christ. And the truth is we can make a difference in so many people's lives here if we just walk out that truth that we have and just open our mouth and share it. Why are Christians so afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm asking you, why are Christians afraid of it? What are they afraid of? Stop being afraid. Go share it. People, you don't want anybody to touch hell. Believe me, you don't want them to go there. And I'm telling you, you're coming across people where this word is going to come up within you. I'm telling you, it's going to rise up within you, and you're going to do the right thing. You're going to start to go to prayer for that individual, and you're going to look for an opening.
Yes, God.
Yes. I hope someday to bring the street preacher that I met over in South Africa over here. And we were on a mission trip, and so we're going into Zululand, and it's the first time I ever met him. His name's Anthony. He's just a big, tall guy. Just a guy, he's just so full of God, you know, I'm ministering over a bunch of people. He goes, I just want to be able to do what you do. I go, what do you mean? I want to be able to do what you do. Well, I want to do what you do. Like, no, but I want to do what you do. You are like a lion. He goes, no, I want to be able to pick people out of crowds. And, you know, when I'm doing my evangelism, he really did want that majorly. And so I said, well, you know, let's pray. I mean, I can believe for that. Holy Spirit's got to give it to you, but I'll pray and believe the Holy Spirit will do that. And so he gets it. So he goes, I think I played the testimony here once, but he goes up to the Pub and Grub, I think it was, and he had just bought a car, and it was a real lemon, and the guy wouldn't give him his money back, and it was really a bad situation, and he was feeling bad, and just he didn't know what to do, so he's walking around, he said, well, I'll get something to eat, so he goes out to the Pub and Grub, and there's a guy there, and the Lord just gives him a word for him, and so he decides to, because I told him, I said, well, one way that it works is if you will go up and just pray for somebody and pray a blessing over them, just keep quiet. Any thought that comes in your head, just tell the person that. So he heard me. And so he, what does he do? He's praying. Felt like the Lord said I had a word for him. So he goes, can I pray for you? And the guy goes, yeah. And says, so he just prays and blesses him. And then God gives him a detailed word of knowledge about his life. And they're in a bar, and this guy starts crying, and there's all these people around watching it. And this guy gives his life to the Lord right there in the bar in front of all these people that are drunk. Mm-hmm. And then he has a revival going right there. I mean, you know, just because he just decided, but he wanted it. You see, and that's, I'm just telling you, saints, you can have those experiences. And some of you have already had them, but you can have more of them. Just tighten up that belt of truth. I should have wore a different belt tonight. I can't get this one any tighter. But I was thinking about bringing one, and then I said, well, I was going to bring one, but I don't have one big enough to get around Doug. So I was thinking that maybe I could, sorry, Doug. But the truth is, Doug, anyway, so... Truth is, you have to love me. Praise the Lord. I'll close so I don't dig my hole anymore. But anyway, praise God. We'll stand to our feet. The belt of truth. It protects you. Truth protects you, guys. You're protected by truth. You don't have to be deceived. Amen. God is so good. My brother there in the baseball hat, I don't know what football team you root for, but it doesn't really matter to me. Good. Not a football guy. Yeah, because there's no identification there. Anyway, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, the Lord really has his hand on you in a mighty way. I see a complete reconstruction. You know, it's like, you know, when God redoes something, you know, it's kind of like a guy that goes in that's so good at renovating houses. You know, they go in and they have the ability to be able to do this, this, and this, and this. And money's, there's no limit to the money because they got plenty of money to do that. God is reconstructing your life right now. And he's doing it in absolute order and beauty. And he is going to do something. You're going to be amazed at what he does. He's touched you already, but I just see him starting to put in the electric and all this fancy furniture and stuff like that. And says, it's like he looked at Adam and says, you know, Adam, you look like you're alone. I'm going to put somebody there and I just see him doing all kinds of things for your life. And just the blessing of God. And you're going to be one that witnesses. It talks about the blessings of God come upon us and overtake us. And you're going to be overtaken to the point of tears. You literally are going to be drowning in tears. You thought you cried about your situation. You're going to be crying because just God's been going to be so good to you. And he loves you so deeply. And you know what? He is showing you time and time again, you can't even earn it. And that's what's going to break you in half. Because you're going to realize God's love is beyond knowledge. God knows the knowledge of every thought that we ever have. And yet before you were even born, he already wrote your life out and he already forgave you before you even got here. And you're going to see God's grace. I see an evangelist being popped up inside you, that work of evangelist, where your life is going to be a signpost that points to Jesus because people are going to see how you have been totally renovated by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're going to bear his image. And you're going to be, God's just going to transform you. He's already started this process, but it is going to be like a flame of fire. Tonight, the Holy Spirit is coming upon you in such a way where the fire of God is going to come inside of your belly and start to burn. And you will thirst for the scriptures. You will thirst for the truth. And every time you see it, God is going to open up. It's going to leap off the page and just, it's like going to hit you in the face. And you're going to say, I want more of that. I want more of that. And you're going to realize, and that you're going to leave this life so far behind you. He has just so changed you. I just want to encourage you. The hand of God is on you in a strong way, buddy. He really is. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Well, Father, we just thank you for what you've done in our midst tonight. What a blessing it's been to be in your presence. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you for the belt of truth. Father, I know what I've said here, Lord, but you can add to it and go so much deeper than I could ever. And so I just ask you, Lord, that you'd minister to each vessel here tonight about the belt of truth. That they heard something tonight, Lord God, maybe they've never heard before, but Lord, take it even further. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the blessing it is to be in your presence. It's such an honor to be here. And we just thank you. We just encourage, Lord. We just ask you to encourage, Lord, the body of Christ right now to put on the army. Put on all the armor, Lord. Father, just protect them. Lord, I ask you just put a shield over these that are come here tonight, Lord God. That just you'd shield them, Lord. I ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Let's, thank you. I don't know, some of you know Ezra that came here, young boy, about 14, and he led worship here a few times. He's in a hospital right now. He's been, he's battling severe illness. I won't say what it is, but it's severe. But when prayed, laid hands on him yesterday, and I believe he's going to be restored, but I just want to go ahead and just kind of do a prayer for him. In fact, why don't you come up and pray for him? Terry, would you lead us in prayer?
Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for my brother Ezra.
Yes.
And I thank you. I thank you for the presence, your presence that he brought in this room when he burst.
Hey.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I rebuke this attack against his health right now in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Over Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
I bind, the disease of leukemia.
Yes, God.
That is not his portion.
No.
Thank you, Lord. We stand on your covenant and your word, because your word is truth. We've heard about truth today. We stand on that truth.
Yes, Lord.
We reject that prognosis of leukemia.
Yes, God.
And we say that we're standing on your word that says you took his disease on that cross, so he could walk in divine health. I rebuke the fear and the anxiety that came in through that diagnosis. The very moment that he was told the results of a blood test, Lord. I rebuke that fear, and I cast it out of him right now. Thank you, Lord. We're standing on the truth.
Yes.
We're standing on your covenant promise that he is healed right now. Right now.
Speak to the mountains.
Thank you, Lord.
Speak to the blood vessels. Speak to red blood cells and the white blood cells.
Yes.
Just like you can speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed.
I'm hearing it.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I speak to... Go ahead.
And we just pray that you would use this as a testimony of his life.
Yes.
That you would receive all the glory, and through it, in it, and through it, you'll bring others to a saving knowledge of healing, restoration, and salvation. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I speak to his body.
Yes, Lord.
I speak to Ezra's body right now by faith. I'm speaking to his body. And I'm speaking to that immune system that God created that's perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking to that immune system to ramp up and go into overdrive.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
to fight any rogue cell in his body.
That's right.
Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Just
thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I declare that with every test that he has in the future, there's going to be a dramatic change.
Yes.
There's going to be the doctor's going to actually say, where they said 85%. Oh, no.
No.
there's been a sudden change. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, and I'm just believing, even as he sits there in that hospital bed, playing, strumming his guitar and singing to the Lord, that the praises that come out of his mouth is just going to quicken his body. He's got the spirit of Jesus Christ, resurrection spirit inside of him right now.
Yes, Jesus.
And there's just going to be a quickening. We've heard about that tonight.
Yes,
and I thank
yes,
you, Lord. Yes, and I just pray for the entire family.
Yes,
I pray for their entire family. They've been through so much in the last several months. And even the spirit of death that tried to take out his father. I rebuke that right now. And we release life and a refreshing to the whole family.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Terry.
Amen.
Thank you. Just keep him lifted up. He's going to get through it. Amen.
Yes. Hey, Todd, I'm going to say one thing, too. Here you go. Anybody don't believe that the flood came, you can go down to Manning, South Carolina, right down here. I got a doctor buddy that owns 160 acres. He actually got 320, but it was 160 on one side of the road, 160 on the other side of the road. He says, come over here, I want to show you something. We go over there by a creek bed over there. We get in the sand over here and starts digging. I said, what you looking for? He digs about 2 seconds. He pulls up 3 shark's teeth right there. The ocean's 100, 150 miles away. Explain that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy in South Africa get his money back for the car?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think he drove it off the cliff or something. He drives a motorcycle it's got a built-in PA system, and he pulls up and just starts preaching.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's how he does it. Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Oh,
that's
good. Can I give a word to this young lady right here?
Go ahead. Come on. Come on, Dad, you got to come up here. Amen. Mr. Controller back there, Lewis, you can you turn the volume down but keep it on so I can record it? Is it good? Thank you. That's okay. I just want to make sure it's on tape. Yeah, it's got to be judged. Yeah, it's got to be judged. Amen. God's so good. Lord, I just thank you for my sister. What a blessing she is. God is so good. God's so good. Yeah, as I put my hand on you, this word entrepreneur comes up in me. And I don't know what it is you do or what you're going to do, but I just want to encourage you that you've got a gift of an entrepreneur, that God is going to give you some witty idea, something to do, and you are going to run with it, and it is going to go national. So I just want to encourage you. I don't know what it is that you, what you do, but I see just a creative, just unbelievable ability. And man, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be overflowing in blessing. And see, the other thing too about you is you're a real giver, and you're going to be given into some real projects that are meaningful. The other part of you I just see in the spirit is just you're very intelligent, very smart. You're not just one that's just going to invest in this or invest in that. You're very wise in your investment, and this is an, you know, call it charity or whatever. It's something along the lines of that. But it'll benefit other people. And so I just want to encourage you in that ministry. And Lord, I just ask you just to bless her, Lord, and to fill her up and to give her peace. And, you know, as I put my hand out, God is healing you in a way. And it's a comforting. There's an area of your life where you just need you need to be comforted right now. And you know, you're a strength, and I look at you externally and you're strong and this and that, but there's a part of you that is really needing of some comfort right now. And so the Holy Spirit's just really going to comfort you in that area and just give you a peace where you're not going to be troubled as much. So just be encouraged by that, okay? The Holy Spirit really loves you. His hands on you in a mighty way. There's a strong anointing of entrepreneurship on you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
It's going to be rich, Dad. Rich. I'm going to be able to take care of you. Yeah. Christmas, you have cars and stuff. It's not going to be the normal gift. It's going to be like, oh, Dad, well, you're Dad. You needed that Ferrari here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my amazing
bacon. Yeah. I'm really curious what you do.
I am too.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought it already had happened.
Yeah, because if you do her job, like, she works for SLED. So it's not exactly.
You know what? Maybe you invent something that stops cars so that when they start chasing them, that it just, rather than the grappler or whatever like that, you'll have something else, you know? Maybe some kind of a gun that shoots sound that, you know, knocks them out with sound versus. Thank you.
We leave the chairs out?
Huh?
We leave the chairs out?
Yes.